captured on a video, of course, on a cell phone that someone happened to have. It takes place in a professional baseball stadium. Two men, maybe mid-20s, are having an altercation as the video picks up. One man is standing in the aisleway on these stairs that steeply ascended. So one man was standing taller than the other man in this aisleway. And the man who was up at the top was making threatening overtures, shall we say. He was verbally beating up the man who was standing below him. And it sure looked like it was going to go into a fight. I thought that's maybe what the purpose of the video was, to show us how a fight broke out at a game. It sure seemed like the second man, who was standing below the first man, didn't really know what was going to happen. And he seemed to be so verbally beaten down that he wasn't doing much. He should have been retreating, one would think. Hold that scene in an MLB stadium, and now switch it over to a different impromptu stadium where there's another altercation happening at a place called Golgotha, where Jesus is being crucified. And that takes us to our text for this evening from Luke chapter 23, beginning with verse 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching. The rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of our God. My dear friends in Christ, go back to that stadium, the baseball stadium. The people who were supposed to be there watching the play on the field have largely turned their attention to this altercation that's happening in the stairs in the aisleway. The dominant man is verbally abusing the quiet man. The crowd at the cross at that stadium is even worse, because it's not one dominant man abusing the quiet man. It's many who are abusing the quiet man. The quiet man in the center on the cross, with criminals on one side and the other. The quiet man who has been beaten so badly that as his head swells, it's being crimped by the constriction of the crown of thorns, whose hands and feet have been impaled with spikes to the cross. That quiet man. And the many are down below that cross, taunting him. Verse 35 tells us about the religious leaders. The religious leaders who sneered at him. Verse 36 tells us about the soldiers who mocked him. Verse 38 tells us that one of the criminals even insulted him. But notice how they sneered and mocked and insulted. The religious leaders said, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is God's Messiah." The soldiers who mocked said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And the criminal insulted by saying, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." Do you realize there were truth? There were true words. There was truth in those words that were hurled at Jesus. Jesus did save people. He saved people from all kinds of diseases and sicknesses. He healed them. Jesus even saved the dead. He rose people from the dead. And those were signs prophesied in the Old Testament that the man who did this was the Messiah, that the man who could this do this was the Christ, the King whose kingdom lasts forever because he's a king greater than the great King David. There was truth in what was hurled at Jesus. Now, in that video at the stadium with the dominant man verbally beating up the quiet man, there was a title that was put on the video. And as I recall it, the title simply said, "He didn't know how close he was." So I assumed, and you might assume also, that that's talking about the dominant man who's inching closer and closer and closer to unleashing all of his physical fury in a physical beatdown. And just when you're saying, "Wow, I hope they cut this video before this dominant man unleashes," the video does cut. It cuts away and shows you an octagon cage. And the quiet man's in that cage. And he is physically dominating his opponent. He's an MMA fighter, mixed martial arts champion. Whoa! He couldn't do anything with the dominant guy because his hands and feet are lethal weapons. And so he just backed away. You don't know how close you came to unleashing hell's fury. Because that's what that MMA fighter could have done. Wow. That's Jesus. That's Jesus who has the ability to unleash hell's fury. And he will judge at the last day. To those on his left, he will say, "To hell you go." And to those on his right, "Welcome home, brother and sister." That's Jesus, the Son of God, who set aside his power and was now taking a verbal beatdown as he's hanging on the cross. But there's truth in those words. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. And he has come to save by dying. And in those words that were hurled in mockery and derision, the truth still has the power of God to save. Romans 1 verse 16, as the Apostle Paul describes, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. As we look at the cross, the glory of God is hidden. And here we see that God's glory to save people is hidden behind words of derision. But in those words is the truth. And the truth reaches out to one of those criminals. Was that criminal really saved there at the cross through the words of derision that were hurled at Jesus? Well, what does our text say? He defended Jesus and called him innocent. He said, this man, Jesus, has a kingdom, referring to the kingdom that is greater than King David. And then he prayed a prayer, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That phrase, that Hebrew phrase, remember me, was used by believers who prayed to God Almighty and said, when I die, keep your promise, remember me, and bring me into your heavenly kingdom. By God's grace, that criminal who began his death on the cross, joining the other criminal in mocking and ridiculing Jesus, not only became quiet, but begins to defend Jesus as the great king. God the Holy Spirit helped him connect to the Old Testament prophecies of the Lamb that was sacrificed day and evening, the innocent sacrifice for the guilty, the blood of the innocent to pay for the sins of the guilty. And God the Holy Spirit connects the dots for that criminal. There was one video of the altercation happening in the baseball stadium, but there's actually three videos, so to speak, the holy writers. Luke is the one that we're looking at, but the other videos were from Matthew and Mark. And they tell us explicitly that the two criminals were mocking Jesus. But now cut away from those videos, and here's Luke showing us that one experienced the power of God's word, creating saving faith in his heart. The power of that word, in spite of the fact that evil men were hurling insults, the power of God's word that we have. To share God's word often is frightening. And we can make all kinds of sinful excuses to evade and avoid, to blend in with the crowd so that we don't stand out as a follower of Christ. But when we see the power of God's word working in this way, in this situation, my friends, the power of God's word does not depend on how smart you are. It does not depend on how well-versed you are with Scripture. It does not depend on how young or how old you are. It does not depend on how eloquent you might be in speaking. The power of God's word is in that gospel word. And the Holy Spirit will unleash it in his way at his time to bring people to believe what is incredibly impossible to believe. That the quiet man at the cross is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So what does this mean? It means, my friends, that God has brought us to a whole different level than how this world operates. The last verse of our text says, after the criminal in faith says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom, Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. What? What did Jesus just say? Jesus, the God-man, was going to die on the cross. God, was going to die on the cross. And the God-man was yet going to be reigning in heaven. The God who died would still at the same time be reigning in heaven. My friends, do not try to reason that out. As soon as you try to make it understandable, as soon as I try to make it understandable to my 8 ounces of gray matter, as soon as you try to do the same thing, we are going to twist and turn and poison this wonderful truth. God the Spirit empowers us to believe both, even though they are seemingly opposed. That God died for us because He loves us so much. And that God died for us means that our sins are forgiven. God paid for our sins. At the same time, God has never left us alone. As He died, He still reigned. And yet He was going to come back to life again on the third day. God, the Holy Spirit, through those powerful words spoken at the cross, reveals to us the loving power of God by which He will never let us alone. Are there days when you're sad? And let's be honest, maybe some days depressed. Are there days when you're lonely? And can we speak gut to gut? Thoughts of committing suicide dance through your head briefly. Are there days when you're worried? And let's speak heart to heart. You're ready to quit and give up because it seems too hard. Open your Bible and put your finger on your favorite gospel passage and read it again and again and again until your breath rate starts to drop, your blood pressure begins to lower, as God raises up in you the faith that He gives you through those words, that you have a God who's going to take care of you until He brings you into His kingdom. The mocker, the one who was beating up the other man with his words, had no idea how close he was to such a powerful man. And I pray that God today touches our hearts so that when we open up that simple Bible, put our fingers on that simple gospel passage, or scroll to it on your phone, I pray that you do know how close you are to the power of God Almighty. Because that's the hidden glory of the cross. The glory hidden behind the powerful words spoken at the cross. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.